Let's go.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Bingetown TV. I am Paul, and with me are Luke, Jimmy, and Dave. And today we are hitting you guys with episode 5 of WandaVision, titled On a Very Special Episode. And it was a very special episode. It was a great, satisfying episode. God, it had some moments where I audibly yelled.
Best of the season. It's just getting better and better. And this is the dream, honestly. I say it every podcast, disappointed with the beginning start, but it's starting to pay off so much now, and we're just getting better and better. And of course, if you've listened to any of our podcast episodes, you know we were just freaking out over the last 20 seconds of this episode. It was so good, and we nailed it.
Yeah, this is such a good episode. Obviously, we were talking about the fact that once episode 3 happened, it started to go rise, and 4 and 5, baby, let's go. 5 is definitely the best yet. I'm just happy that we're all in person again, so we can talk about this and not be remote. We had to get in person for this one.
Hell yeah.
It's very important.
I do want to say, though, I'm going to start it off strong by stating an opinion that I think this episode is making me think less and less of a chance of Mephisto being a person, and more that we're opening the doors to potentially Wanda actually being the villain. And I, for some reason, I kind of like it, but I really, really want Mephisto, and I just don't see...
All right, well,
how it plays into it.
You listen to a little gym action. Yeah. I have some stuff that I want to talk about for Mephisto. It is definitely looking more and more like Wanda, but I think towards the end of the episode, I started to get a couple hints that she is definitely not in control of everything. So we could talk about that towards the end.
Yeah. Well, this is going to be a long one. Yeah. I have a feeling.
A lot of theory smashing, which is always just going to happen as we get further and further into the season. But that's good. We're getting more refined, and we're starting to hit our actual stride and know where this is going and how it's going to affect the Marvel Universe as a whole.
I saw a quote saying that WandaVision as a series is a casual MCU fan's worst nightmare and a hardcore Marvel fans' wet dreams.
Oh my God, so true.
It's so true. And did you guys see the interview that Elizabeth Olsen did a couple years ago? I guess was it for Civil War? No, not Civil War. I mean, Ultron, when she was first brought in, and they were talking about how she would like to do the House of M storyline, but she thought it would be too dark and they wouldn't do it.
Oh, really?
No, let's go.
Wow, foreshadowing as hell. That's amazing. I mean, this is, we say it every episode. Jimmy, you said episode 1. This show is going to be groundbreaking TV for our time.
This episode was already the last 20 minutes was groundbreaking. Like we're in this moment right now. Yeah. We're getting it.
I'm a little nervous for Falcon and the Winter Soldier and stuff like that, because I feel like this is going to be so crazy and groundbreaking that Falcon and Winter Soldier, we're going to be like, it's good, but it's not WandaVision.
Yeah. I don't know, man. The trailer just dropped.
Yeah.
And it's supposed to basically pick up right after this finish. It's like March, right?
I just can't imagine beating the idea of mixing the Fox Marvel Universe and X-Men into our MCU. Like, this is, we keep saying it, groundbreaking. And I don't know where we're going to go from here, but I don't think we brought it up on the last episode either, but there's been this thing surfacing throughout Twitter with Elizabeth Olsen saying, you know, comparing the big cameo that's going to happen in this show to what happened in Mandalorian.
Yeah.
And I hope it wasn't this, because, you know, the words she used were like just as groundbreaking as the appearance in that show, which there's only a handful of characters that could really do it, and I just hope it wasn't this.
Yeah, well, real quick, Dave and Paul, jump in here, because this is our Mando crew, and me as an outsider, I know how epic the Luke Skywalker cameo is. So real quick, after you guys bring it up, we'll talk about who it can even live up to that.
Yeah.
Honestly, not this, because I don't know if it had the fact to do, like, we knew Evan Peters was involved somehow, but... And with, you know, Luke Skywalker and Mando, we had no idea. Like, it was, this is the first inclination we had towards it at all. So that surprise factor really hit. But this, I don't know. I wouldn't really call this, not even close.
I don't think it was it either. I was shocked to see. I wouldn't say shocked, but I was very happy to see this Quicksilver in this timeline appear. But yeah, the Luke Skywalker reveal was just unbelievable. I don't think, at first I thought this was Captain America at the door. So I was like, okay, that could kind of be, you know,
that would have been lit.
I was like, because I remember you mentioning that, you know, that she was tweeting about some cameo appearance. So I was literally looking at the door and I was like, that's fucking Captain America.
Yeah.
And it wasn't. But I mean, it was still a great reveal, but I don't think it compares to the Mandalorian.
So let's do it real quick, okay? The thing that I'm worrying about is I hope it's not Benedict Cumberbatch, because no. Doctor Strange would not live up to it, because we know that she's already involved with him for Multiverse of Madness. Evan Peters, I think the implications is a big deal, but the actual actor and Quicksilver coming in is not Luke Skywalker at all. I think on the podcast group chat, I was talking to you guys and we were all trying to brainstorm here, and I'm thinking Magneto.
That's definitely, that would be huge, groundbreaking.
That would be, yeah, that would be Luke Skywalker kind of shit right there.
Now, again, Michael Fassbender, Magneto, because obviously I love Ian McKellen, but we need to go Michael Fassbender for the future here. James McAvoy, Professor X, I doubt he would come into this. Michael Fassbender makes so much more sense.
Connected to, you know, Scarlet Witch being the father. Yeah, 100%.
You know who I just thought of? Hugh Jackman as Wolverine.
That was another one we brought up. That would be ridiculous.
I would die.
I think Magneto is a little more realistic, but Wolverine would be very cool as well.
The funny thing about Wolverine is that he always cameos and shit. Mm-hmm. Like, even X-Men First Class, when he wasn't supposed to show up.
Fuck off.
Yep.
That's so good.
Such a good, yeah. So, I mean, honestly, those three were my big three. Yeah. I don't see anybody else from the Fox. Oh, Deadpool maybe, but that's another one.
Well, holy shit, man. Let's stop. Let's just stop right now, dude. We just wrote the end of the series, man. All these people showing up. But I'm with you. It cannot be Spider-Man or Doctor Strange, because that would be, I'd be offended by Elizabeth Olsen's words saying that this was on the same scale when they have two movies coming up that are all going to be interdimensional. So like that just would not cut it. But yeah, so Magneto is number one. Mm-hmm. And then there's a comment that happens later in this episode by Geraldine/Monica Rambeau about the Aeros. The engineer, the aerospace engineer. Right. So for those who know, in the comics, that is the job title of Mr. Fantastic and Dr. Doom. So like those would count for me. So I'm really hoping for Magneto, Mr. Fantastic, Dr. Doom. I think even Ben Grimm counts as an aerospace engineer.
I'm not sure, to be honest.
So
yeah.
Fantastic Four would count.
And I don't think last episode we talked about this, but there was a line where Monica Rambeau asked Tyler Hayward how the astronaut program's going. Mm-hmm. And he said it's grounded. And people were saying, well, astronaut program, is that the Fantastic Four?
And we know that that's going to be a future series coming. I don't know if it's been announced specifics, but yeah, that's going to be awesome. And when they integrate that with the new X-Men that are coming in, Marvel's just going to be lit.
All right, let's get into the episode.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So it starts off with Wanda and Vision, and they're holding the twins. Their home has changed now. And this is straight out of like Full House. I mean, the staircase is coming down like the middle. And
is that what it is, though?
Family Ties, Full House. Like the intro is like Full House-ish. Yeah, it's like all those kinds of shows.
I mean, plus it has the twins, which technically, first of all, crazy, because Mary Kate and Ashley Olsen, and now sister Elizabeth Olsen, whatever. I'm going down a rabbit hole. So they're trying to get these babies to sleep. They're doing a little husband wife couple dance, like holding the kids. And Wanda eventually tries to use powers to silence them and make them go to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
And she does the little flick of her fingers. It's not her animated, you know, actual
chaos magic.
Yeah, powers. She just does her, you know, sitcom finger flick and nothing happens. And she tries it again and nothing happens. So,
and she says, "Why won't you do what I say?" That's a big deal. Why aren't the kids doing whatever she wants them to do?
Yeah, and she doesn't do it in front of Vision either, which I think is important as well.
Oh, true, true, true. And in the middle of this, they're talking about, all right, what are we going to do? And who comes in the front door but Auntie Agnes? And, of course, she is in the 80s getup, straight up workout gear.
Yeah, this is a weird scene because it's one of those meta scenes where they break the fourth wall kind of, and breaking the fourth wall is really just talking to Wanda.
Yeah.
Is just the way to equate it. So, you know, she comes in and has like this weird interaction with Wanda and Vision about taking care of the kids, blah, blah, blah. Vision's like throwing the fuck off. Like, what the hell's going on? Like, didn't you just hear what she said? She said, let's take it from the top, basically. Yep. Like, let's redo this scene. So the music in the background cut off too. Like, that's just, we're all just focusing in on Wanda's reality break again. And then
that was the weirdest.
Let's talk about it because honestly, she notices Vision isn't going by the script, quote unquote. And then she's like, oh, and she literally loses her like tone of voice, everything, her 80s way of speaking. And she's like, so we want to take this from the top. What's going on here? And she's like looking at Elizabeth Olsen Wanda like, what's good? What are we doing here? And that's I want to talk about. So that means she knows what's going on. Is she's part of this with Wanda, or is she?
Agnes is the most important low-key character, I think, of the show currently. Like, there's going to be some good reveals about her, whether it's her motives and what she wants with Wanda, or whether it's her husband that, you know, keeps getting brought up and she can't let go of. So there's going to be something tied in here, and the internet's going crazy. Right now is a good time to be an Agnes fan, because Reddit is just blown up with like theories and just tying it back to her comic book counterpart. So honestly, I don't have many thoughts on it, because I don't know her comic form, and then you might, but I'm a little lost on her.
Well, this is the first time that we get a quote unquote NPC, one of the town citizens, actually talking to Wanda, saying, hey, like, do you want to run that back?
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So all the other ones, they kind of like glitched out, but they didn't say, hey, like, do you want me to redo that? It's not like part of the script.
I was going
to
make that comment too, because with the blonde chick at the pool, I'm pretty sure it reset almost. Like, it wasn't like this, where it was like, oh, let's take it from the top. It was way different.
Yeah, it was like, how do you get bloodstains out of white cotton?
Which makes me think that Dottie's not in the same, not as important as Agnes is.
I agree.
Yeah, so, I mean, we get some more information a little bit later that we'll get into about how Geraldine is saying, well, Monica is saying how she's being controlled in her head while everything's going on. So it just seems like Agnes is not one of them. Like, when you're saying break the fourth wall, they glitch out. They kind of are taken over by Wanda. I'm under the impression that she's just not. She's just playing the act.
Exactly. Yeah. And then that's what happens right after this scene, because the baby stopped crying. They look around. Oh, yay, the baby stopped crying. They turn around. They're kids. They're literally kindergarten kids. And Agnes sees this and isn't weirded out. Is just playing it by the script. So I think you're right. I think she's completely aware. And she might be the only one that's not Wanda or Vision.
Your girl Agnes likes to drink too, Luke.
Oh yeah. Just looking for that dark liquor.
I do also want to say that I very much enjoy Vision's perspective throughout this whole series, because we don't know exactly if he's an NPC, like we're saying, or if he's like actually is himself. You know, this I've always been intrigued with how he's taken it. And this whole scene really dives into that, because he actually knows something is going on here that isn't, this is all a front, and he knows
it. I'm so happy they answered some of those questions this episode too, because Vision is now the most interesting character to me. Just like being in this world, because he says later in the episode, you can't control me like you control them.
Yeah,
because, you know, he's like one of the most powerful. They have this insane name for the body type he had that Monica and Darcy say. I didn't write it down. There's too many words, but
I can't wait to
crazy.
I can't wait to dissect that quote you said.
Do you have it written down?
No. Well, when we get to it eventually. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So this was really weird. Yeah, I got sketched out by Agnes a few times here. Obviously once with the, you want to run it again. The second where she was just like going through their shit, like, oh, I'm just looking for the liquor. Not for me, for the babies, of course. What kind of baby shit do you think I am? Which is hysterical.
Yeah.
And I don't know, like the way she went off, it was almost like she was looking for something, like going like through their shit.
Yeah.
And while all that's happening, or like Vision was having the conversation, that like doesn't make any sense. Wanda's just spitting denial at him. And like you said, the only reason he kind of snapped out of it was like, oh, like, do you hear that? The babies aren't crying anymore. And then Agnes was there, and when the babies just aged up to, was it 5 years old now?
Yep.
Is that part of their abilities, or is that literally just Wanda?
That's just, I don't know. They're doing it. It seems like they're doing it themselves.
Yeah, that's what I
don't think it's Wanda.
Yeah, it's not Wanda.
Yeah.
But they don't, that's not like Wiccan and Speed's power or anything, but I have no idea.
I was having Agnes vibes, because Agnes is there every time they age up.
That's true. That's very true, actually.
I got a whole reasons to be shady of Agnes.
Yeah, let's talk about that more when the dog dying scene.
Oh yeah, I was gonna save it towards the end. So because we get everything. One other question I have: the perfume that she was spraying over them.
Yeah,
you think that I have magician straight in the back of my head right now. I'm like, permanence. Is that permanence?
That's hilarious.
So was that nothing?
I don't know. I mean, it's a little lavender, man.
Dude, it could have been aging juice. It could have been aging juice.
It could have, yeah. I mean, honestly, dude, I'm not saying at all that you're like It could be anything. She's a witch. Like, if she's Agatha Harkness, it could be something like you're saying. I have no idea. Last thing about Agatha for this scene is, you already brought it up right when you brought us into the scene. Annie Agnes. Mm. That's Annie Agatha, Annie A from the comics. That's her nickname.
Yeah. Okay.
It's convincing.
Again, there's so many hints now. Like, I don't know which way to go. If she's evil or she's good.
I mean, I feel like if she's not Agatha Harkness at this point, it's Marvel totally owning us just trolling the shit out of us. Definitely. Because it's so, at this point to me, it's so obvious.
I hope she's good. That's just my dream right now.
So then, as Luke was saying, we get the title sequence and we get Monica waking up in an X-ray machine.
But can we just say how fucking creepy Vision is as a kid?
Yeah, he's right.
Growing up in that scene, and he looks insane.
Yeah, which, of course, it makes no sense.
Let's have Baby Yoda, Baby Vision, and Baby Groot just throw down.
Oh my God.
If it's a death battle, though, who's winning? It's got to be Baby Vision, right?
Dude, wait.
Baby Yoda could probably throw down, though. You would know that.
Yeah, he's got some powers, man.
Maybe at that point in time, maybe Baby Yoda, but I feel like Vision's potential, obviously, is number one.
Well, Baby Groot's fucked.
Does Baby Vision have the Mind Stone, or is it Baby Vision from that? Like, what are we doing here?
Yeah. True.
Anyway, that the internet freaked out over that picture.
Yeah,
that was everywhere. That, like, there was long paragraphs, and it was like, there was so much in this episode, but I can't stop thinking about this little baby Viz. And yeah, that whole scene was just them growing up, and then the kids kind of growing up to being 5 years old.
Yeah, we don't have to get too into the theme and stuff, but obviously the lyrics have things about
Making it up and as long as we go.
There you go. Know? Exactly.
Singing a song.
Just like everything's been.
So Monica wakes up on the X-ray machine and she has this inner monologue of a conversation that she had with Hayward, we're assuming earlier on, and she's saying, like, all I remember is Wanda's voice. She was in my head. It was painful, and I didn't have control of anything.
Grieving was another important adjective used there, too.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next thing that happens is we find out that, you know, of course, Sword's going to go through the whole procedure of just running tests on Monica and how the Westview affected her, and they're just getting all these weird results from the MRIs, from whatever they're running on her, and they no conclusive results from that.
Yeah, the doctor comes back and is like, hey, the machine's broke. We need to do this again. Mm-hmm. These are blank. Darcy looks at it and is like, that's blank. And she's like, exactly. We need to run it again. And Darcy says, what about her lab results? Like,
we got to pull blood again.
Yeah,
run it back, baby.
Yeah, and Monica's like, fuck that. I'm out of here.
Do you think those are going to have longer term effects? The fact that they were like blanks, or do you think it was just somewhat of an accident?
Well,
yeah,
something that you brought up before, the name Photon.
Yep,
it was. So Maria Rambeau was known as Maria Photon Rambeau, and in the little scene of all the images flashing in her head as Monica's waking up right here, we see the nameplate Maria, quote unquote, Photon Rambo at the end.
So good.
So I think you brought this up. I brought it up. The fact that whether the anomaly is activating her powers as Photon, when she's Photon, she has like the energy thing going on. So it might not just be a blank MRI. It could just be like energy coming off it. It could be a blank one. It could be screwed up because of the energy. I don't think it's really affecting everybody. I think it's just going to be Monica at this point.
So just to be clear, you think if someone who is normal, like, walked in, came out, you wouldn't see a blank.
Right.
Right. Like
That's what I'm thinking right now. Unless we want to get crazy here and say that, like, maybe if the end she goes crazy and the Westview anomaly takes over the whole Earth, House of M style,
that
activates every
the X gene.
Yeah, activates every mutant gene.
Okay. No, that's pretty lit.
It's important to put a pin in these kind of things.
We also got a cool little tidbit here that her clothes are in briefing or something like that. They're basically just being analyzed.
And then this next scene is just a really good reminder for all the Marvel fans that haven't watched Avengers 2 Age of Ultron in a while. It just gives them it's Tyler, who I don't know why you said our boy Tyler, because that dude is a douchebag.
No, I said our boy because he was calling him Tyler and we were laughing.
I didn't think I was going to hate him so much, but he took a huge step down this episode. But
really I was going to make that exact comment. Yeah. I didn't mind him earlier.
Yeah.
And
he's putting some respect on the Rambos.
Yeah. He came off as a kind of a good guy. And then here they just asked for a quick briefing. And yeah, it's just a quick reminder of who the Scarlet Witch actually is. And she is a terrorist originally. So yeah.
Hayward starts out by saying, okay, we got some new information. We have some inside view of the anomaly from Rambo. What we initially thought was Wanda was just caught up in the anomaly. Now we know that she, what do they call it?
The victimizer.
Yeah, the prime victimizer.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So we also get some flashes of just all of the sword intel they have on her. And we get a reminder about Wanda Maximoff's background with her parents being name dropped again as not Magneto. So that's an important tidbit because we don't know how that's going to get introduced. But if it is, it's not going to be, you know, her actual dad being Magneto.
Then that she knows of.
Right, right. Yeah. So we also find out, it makes sense that the world would think of Wanda as a terrorist because she really only barely gained the trust of the Avengers. And this was after she turned them all against each other and made the Hulk go crazy. So from their perspective, I kind of get it. And I initially was pissed. I was like, fuck off, man. She helped save the world.
Literally, the Hayward goes on to say she was a part of Hydra. She was literally a part of this like awful Nazi group. And she was a terrorist that ended up.
She destroyed buildings. Like we saw the clip of her just like, going wild
in Lagos. Yeah.
Well, that was an accident.
Well, that was it.
But still doesn't help her case.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's basically Hayward is just using this as propaganda to make sure that everybody thinks Wanda is the terrorist.
Which is an interesting look at this because, like you said, Luke, realistically, the citizens of that world don't actually know the Scarlet Witch. They don't even have a superhero name for her. So that's how unclear she is to the rest of the world. And so,
but that's what I mean, because you use the word propaganda right there. But do you think he's intentionally doing it? Like, you don't think that part of him actually considers her a danger?
No, I think
everyone.
I personally think he thinks she's dangerous.
Yeah.
But I also think he's full of shit because in a second he talks about the fact that she's holding Vision against his will and his living will said he doesn't want to be turned into a weapon. But we see a video of Sword pretty much taking him apart, testing on him to see what do you think they're trying to do with him. Well, let me ask you guys this too, because during this whole scene, my radar is just going off saying, why the hell? I mean, maybe they don't have any of the Avengers like phone numbers or something, but why aren't they trying to call an Avenger? I know Cap's gone. I know Iron Man's gone, but there's someone they can call to be like, yo, you know Wanda, right? Why don't you go talk to her?
I was literally thinking the same thing as I was watching this episode. I was like, they should just, if they're a part of SWORD, they should have these connections to the Avengers and have someone vouch for her. Because Wanda is not a bad person, as we know.
Our boy Jimmy Woo is vouching for her. He's the only one. He says that is a gross simplification of what happened when he says
Monica is vouching for her as well as she's telling the story, too. So that's good to know.
I just think that it's crazy, especially like, okay, talk this out with me. Where's Hawkeye at the end of Endgame?
Banging his wife that was dead for 5 years.
Well, he's the one that was great. I mean, I don't blame him, but I guess he's off the grid. He's not Ronin anymore, but he's still like, he was Wanda's boy. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the ones that actually has worked with S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff separately before. Mm-hmm. Call him up.
Mm.
See what he's doing.
Don't you think in the same sort of way, they could also call up Black Panther because he's now like a global face, right?
Yeah.
So, I mean, obviously you can't do that, but I mean, you know, that's another kind of person that they could have used as reference to find out what Wanda was all about.
Way to make me cry, first of all.
Yeah, right.
And second of all, this all could be part of Hayward's plan. Like he doesn't, if he is kind of in control of everything, maybe he doesn't want to bring in the Avengers.
I'm a mess. I'm such a wreck.
Hey Geekscapists, with Valentine's Day around the corner, we've decided to hook you up. Geekscape has partnered with the video dating app Filter Off to bring you a free and fun video speed dating event on Saturday, February 13th. To take part, all you've got to do is download the Filter Off dating app to your smartphone, find the Geekscape event, and RSVP with the code GEEKSLOVE2. That's T-O-O, because we do love to. You don't have to wait until Valentine's to use the app either. It's fun and free, and Matt Kelly has already racked up a ton of dates on it, so what have you got to lose? Download Filter Off, and we'll see you on February 13th. Geekscape forever.
So, if we're going to say Hayward's maybe not the best dude, which we already think... maybe this plan isn't about saving Westview. It's about getting Vision back for Sword, and he's evil. Definitely. Like, you know,
so, I like that. I can
so if
that.
You get the Avengers back into this, they're going to say, yo, you're not going to take Vision. We're going to bring him back and do what we need to do with him. Bury him because he doesn't want to be anything.
That whole reveal was crazy because Monica was defending Wanda, saying, I don't think she knew what she was doing. She was in pain. I don't think she has an agenda, and there was no malicious intent to it. And Hayward goes, oh, really? She pulls up the video. This happened 9 days ago. This was the top secret location of Vision's corpse. And this is the video footage of Wanda going in there and stealing it. And Jimmy, comic book fan, that was straight out of the comic book panels. It was just Vision's body on the tables and different limbs.
I mean, I just don't see how no one called them out for that. He's just in pieces and they're just and whatever. Yeah,
weird as hell.
Well, I think from their perspective that they don't think Vision's alive without the Mind Stone. So he's just parts and he's just a super AI that's left over from the Stark industry. So I think they're just trying to salvage it. I don't know. I would be bored of the same old concept of recycling the Shield storyline where it's corrupt from within. Like, I would rather it be ignorance on the part of Tyler, not realizing that Wanda is good, than this to be malicious and them having this whole agenda to save Vision for their own evil purposes. Because seems boring. It just seems like the same shit.
If you're just going to start introducing Sword to us again, I don't need them to be evil either.
No, yeah.
Well, I was getting mad Ares from Wonder Woman vibes from Hayward. So I was thinking, dude, Hayward Tyler, aka Mephisto.
Oh my god. Could you imagine?
Man, that'd be cool.
Do you have anything you to go off that, or are you just saying that?
He's scared of Wanda. Wanda's the only one who could take him down, so he's trying to get rid of her in disguise. All plus, right. I have a whole reasons not to trust Hayward section too.
Okay.
Paul doesn't trust anyone out here.
No, fuck no. I don't have friends. But at the end of this scene, we were getting Jimmy Woo and Darcy having a little conversation. Jimmy already brought it up earlier. Resurrect Vision. Oh, that goes against Sokovia Accord section 36B. So, like, that's a whole other fucking issue. Sokovia Accords yet again coming in to bite him in the ass. Mm-hmm. Fuck the Sokovia Accords. And also, Jimmy Woo has a line. What do you mean resurrect Vision? Can she even do that without the Mind Stone?
That's drawn onto the questions that me and Dave were bringing up earlier about what Vision's real perspective is and blah, blah, blah. But we do get a lot of answers on that.
So this also ends with Darcy going, the world's largest source of vibranium, super machine, whatever, is like playing suburban dad. And what happens when he finds out the truth?
Right.
Which I guess we'll find out. So then this cuts back into the sitcom and we have the two twins at the sink and they're whispering and all this stuff. And then Wanda comes in, says, geez, Louise, which one of you guys barked? And there was a dog in the sink that they were drowning.
He's a cute boy.
They're drowning.
Yeah, they were drowning. Little cute dog.
The played out sitcom thing that's going on here. We get a little bit of that before.
I literally have in my notes that whole scene. Yeah. Like, I just did it. The sitcom is just so whatever.
It's just there's nothing really to dissect there until Agnes shows up.
Yeah, exactly. Viz is kind of walks in like, oh, hello, wife and boys and wet animal, like all this other stuff. And then Wanda has a line like, oh, like down here so early. It was like, oh, like I just had a feeling like something would happen.
No, she said, why are you being so formal? And he's like, I just had a feeling something would, you know, happen.
Someone would show up with exactly what we need.
Yep. And lo and behold, it's Agnes with exactly what they need, a doghouse for this new dog that they're supposedly going to adopt.
And also right at around this part of the scene, Wanda is starting to become very liberal with using her powers, just openly around Agnes. And we already know from the scene before in the house that she doesn't care and she's not going to comment on it. And Vision's the one that cares the most, what it appears, right? Because he calls her out on that. So he's starting to like internally wake up, feels a little bit like Westworld, right? Like he's starting to, you know, figure shit out.
He had a great line where he said, like, that's not what we agreed upon. Basically, this is the beginning of Vision realizing, like, yo, Wanda, you're not the Wanda I used to know.
Mm-hmm.
There's something you're not telling me. And then goes back to the boys. They're begging for the dog to be theirs. And Wanda's like, no, you guys aren't old enough. You don't know what true responsibility is. And then they're like, you have to be. And then Vision whispers, 10 years old, or coughs, whatever. 10 years old. And maybe we'd reconsider this. And wouldn't you know, the boys just are like, they look at each other, 5 years older, 5 years go by for them. And they're now 10 years old.
Cue our boy, young Luke from Haunting of Hill House, baby. Yeah,
that was sweet.
I didn't even notice.
What?
Yeah,
he's Wiccan.
It took me until the end of the episode, and when he had like a little bit of a monologue, and I was like, I've heard this before, and I remember being scared as shit at the same time.
You must not follow the Bingetown TV Instagram or Twitter, because we did post it on social media.
I saw the crossover for Hill House.
Yeah, I saw it, and I scrolled because I hadn't watched the episode at that point. Yeah. And I was like, this is going to ruin something for me.
Yeah.
Agnes has a corny line. Let's just hope this guy doesn't grow any bigger.
Yeah.
One little thing to note there. When Agnes came in, Sparky tried to kill himself. He went to the outlet and literally bit it.
Has some kind of name in the that's a Easter egg for the comics, but it's not a big enough deal for us to talk about.
See, is it not, though? Because the only two times we've seen Sparky, he's tried to kill himself and he succeeds the second time. So, and people are also theorizing that it's always around Agnes. So there could be some sort of connection there.
That was me. I'm people.
I mean, that's crazy. If it's,
what was the point of the dog licking the outlet? Like they didn't just
change his name to Sparky. And that's an Easter egg.
Yeah, they went from Sniffy. I thought it was Sniffy.
Sniffy to Sparky.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Because of that.
So he kills himself in the bush, you're saying? Or
yeah,
I think that's got to be a play on it, right?
Could be.
It makes sense to me.
I think if it means anything, it's wrapped up with Agnes because she's around at all of it.
Something crazy. Norm, we'll get to that later, he freaks out. So if he's under the spell and the dog's under the spell and he's like, get me out of it, maybe the dog's
how'd
like,
the dog get out of that spell, dude?
I'd rather kill myself.
Maybe the spark brought him out of the spell and he's like, I gotta kill myself now.
Sparky is the mind stone.
Yeah.
Quote us. Anyway, the next thing we get is our boy Wu walking through the compound and he goes to Rambo and Darcy. They were talking, they're having a conversation at the whiteboard. And Rambo has this line. He goes, okay, so what I need is a 10,000-pound fallout shelter comprised of lead for photons. Nudge, nudge, wink, wink, photon.
Mm-hmm.
Cadmium for neutrons, tantalum for seismic blasts on wheels. Theoretically, that would work. I can work with theoretically. Okay, real quick. Did the math. 10,000 pounds of lead is basically half of a cubic yard of lead. So you're going to get a fallout shelter out of half of a cubic yard. Like, eat my ass, Sword. you're always so good with everything else.
I'm happy you did some math, engineer.
Yeah, of course the engineer would look that up.
Yeah, that wouldn't work. So then we get Wu coming in saying, hey, what I missed, catch me up to date. Darcy's like, they're aged up to 10 now. Like, oh my God, there'll be empty nesters by night. Which, side note, Darcy finally got a coffee.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Didn't even notice.
All right, so this is another important scene because this is when Jimmy's asking who the kids are, pretty much saying like, who are the cast members? And Monica explains that they're actually real. And we were talking about this before. We kind of already knew this. This episode is just showing how strong Wanda actually is.
Yeah. And the conversation's awesome because they start, I think it's Jimmy Woo says, no, not Jimmy. Jimmy backs Captain Marvel, right? And says Captain Marvel could have taken Thanos too, but someone, who was it first that says that Wanda was basically going to take out Thanos by herself?
That was Darcy.
Yeah, so
I think I said that literally last episode. Yeah. I said Wanda would have killed Darcy until he caught in the airstrike.
Wanda would have killed Darcy.
Oh, Jesus Christ. I'm fucking shit up.
That would
now.
Not have been a contest.
You think Wanda could kill Darcy?
Yeah. Darcy with the Infinity Gauntlet. Yeah.
Theories keep them coming.
Wanda would have killed Thanos until he called in the blitz. So basically they just said the same exact thing and it was sweet.
Mm-hmm.
But Rambo was like, we're not talking about Captain Marvel. And she was really sensitive on the subject. And do you think that's because Captain Marvel, quote unquote, like kind of took away her mom, didn't take her away, but basically led her on to this and not get her killed because she died in the hospital of old age, but
cancer. But no, I'm guessing that it's going to be something we find out in between because she's a kid during Captain Marvel. And then there's obviously going to be a lot of things in between.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm guessing we'll find out like Captain Marvel 2 or something.
Maybe she's bitter she wasn't here.
I think a lot of people were bitter. What is it? An Endgame in Infinity War. They talk about the fact that she just disappears and everyone's like, where the hell are you? And she's like, there's a lot of other universes for me to take care of, not just yours.
Yeah. She's interdimensional, baby.
Yep.
Interplanetary. All right. So also in this, I like the quote about Darcy naming Westview Hex.
That's what I was going to say.
Which is just awesome because that's Wanda's powers. It's also in the shape of a hexagon, so it works really well.
She, in that line, though, she made a good point. She was saying about the fallout shelter, that might help you get in, but I can't guarantee you're just going to get mind wiped by the hex as soon as you go in. What's the hex? Oh, it's this thing I've been trying to make what happen. But
she says hexagonal, kind of annoyed me. But the other thing about hex is it's like another word for curse. So,
So the next scene is directly after this conversation about who the strongest was, kind of. Then we have Monica having a realization about the clothes that she was wearing. And when she goes to find them, because Sword took them off her when they were doing all the tests, we see that the material changed to match the 80s theme that's going on inside Westview, but it's still the same material, the bulletproof vest that she was wearing when she walked into it. So now Darcy had a cool line, I think, saying like, are we getting mind controlled right now to see this, or like, what's going on? And that's just the good kind of questions that
thing that everyone was asking. I think it was already proven to us last episode with Paul, you're talking about the jump rope, like when you pull the jump rope back, it's still a jump rope, and they're not, I guess you could still be, it's the illusion of seeing it, and now we're proving that's not an illusion anymore. Again, this is just showing how strong she actually is.
So that jump rope would technically be like steel wire.
Yeah.
So this was a huge question that I had going in. We said on the pod before, what happened when she first went into the anomaly? We know that she was under the basically spell of Wanda from the get, and Wanda changed her clothes all the time. And she had the line here, Wanda is rewriting reality. That's the way she put it.
That's epic. That's fun.
So cool.
So your question about is there badge or necklace, I would say is like confirmed now.
Yep.
Assume. And then we also get the, when Monica says the hex again, she goes, called it a hex.
You said it.
So good.
And Luke, you said it in that scene when they're talking about Thanos and Captain Marvel and Wanda. Monica's about to text her aerospace engineer,
right?
Whoever it is.
And that's, you know, people are going to run with that because you don't put throwaway lines into Marvel shows like this. So I'm hoping, I would be really, really happy if that turned out to be the cameo that Elizabeth Olsen was hinting at, and it being Mr. Fantastic or Dr. Doom, because that'd be such a good way to introduce them pre-powers. And I think, Paul, you were the one that said this to me before the podcast, that I also think I've seen it online that John Krasinski is going to be Mr. Fantastic, or is that rumored?
That's rumored because he's so, like, it would be such a good cast.
Yeah. And if he shows up, my gosh.
I think there was documentation that he had a meeting with the studio months ago or something like that.
Cool.
But nothing was ever announced.
Signed me up for that.
He was actually auditioned as Captain America.
I did. In the day. Emily told me that. Yeah. And she was like, could you imagine him? No, absolutely not.
But if it was either one of those, it would have to be pre-powers, right?
I think the Fantastic Four would be fine to give them. It would be pre-powers because you can't know them. An aerospace engineer who just happens to have powers that we don't know about yet.
Right.
Also, Dr. Doom, I cannot freaking wait for, because Fantastic Four 1 and Fantastic Four 2, whatever, they are awful. But Dr. Doom is like a Thanos type bad guy, you know, that they're gonna run with, definitely not now, but at some point.
And they beat him by shooting him with water. It's like, dude, fuck off.
Him and Magneto have always been two of my favorite villains from that side of the universe.
Yeah,
just so cool, so powerful all the time.
Yeah,
but you know, he was a super high temperature and got cooled very quickly. So
kind of lame, how they wrote him off like that. But
That was early on. But the next scene we get is Vision's work. And our boy, Norm here, his name's Norm, right?
Yep.
He's Norm.
Yeah, he's surfing the web.
If he's your
web,
boy,
dude,
you better know his name, dude.
I said our boy.
If he's our boy, you better know his name.
So you're telling me this is a typewriter, a Rolodex, and a calendar all in one? What's it going to do next? Find me a wife? To which Vision says, eventually, which eventually, I thought was sweet.
Oh, yeah.
I thought personally this was the best acting of the entire episode. I thought it was just so good. Like so we'll go through it. So Vision is showing him how the computer works because, you know, he's an AI, he can do whatever he wants. And they receive an email from Sword they open it up and it's another one of the moments where Vision is just waking up again and realizing what the hell is happening here. He's starting to question reality and everything. So he looks at Norm and then uses his, I don't know, spark powers and just goes right up to his head and basically releases his mind. So Norm temporarily wakes up and just starts freaking out. And the acting of him alone, like, so good. I thought he sold it really well. And you know, you feel for him because he's like, wait, I gotta call my family. Like, they don't know what I'm doing. Wanda's holding me trapped here. I don't think he says Wanda specifically.
He says she,
which keeps the door open for something, or it could just be, you know, Wanda. Agatha. Mm-hmm. Could be that female Mephisto.
Oh, I didn't even think about that. That'd be crazy.
Female Mephisto?
That's possible.
Yeah. So, yeah, this scene was
Mephisto
awesome.
Mephisto could be Sparky, dude.
Yeah.
Oh, we're in, dude. So this scene was wild because there's so many like jokes like, oh, it's like you speak their language. Yeah, because he is a fucking computer.
Yeah.
And then this email was
electronic
crazy.
Mail.
I'm sorry, electronic mail. Get the letter opener.
Yeah.
It says SOAR, top secret communique, authenticate Dr. Darcy Lewis's findings regarding Maximoff anomaly. High levels of radiation present at perimeter. Effect on Westview residents unknown. Please advise.
Why are they all able to read it is my question.
I was just going to say the same thing. It's weird too, because if you really watch the scene, there's people that aren't even looking at computers saying all together what's on the screen.
Can't explain an anomaly like that. I assume it's a reality break that just affected the whole area.
I kind of took it as like, because Wanda is controlling these people, she's kind of just, this is her subconscious essentially just reading this message, and it's just all of them are just reading aloud. It's kind of how I thought of it. Like, she just has eyes everywhere is basically
She's seeing it through their eyes.
Yeah,
so she knows the email came.
Yeah,
okay. That's interesting.
It's just, she's always kind of aware anytime something foreign comes into Westview. So you could think of it like that.
That's interesting.
Well, I was going to say, who did you guys think the email is from? Because it doesn't say, it just says, please advise. And it says Dr. Darcy Lewis's findings. It's
I was just saying it's like a sword memo.
I was definitely thinking it's
Mephisto.
Well, aka Sparky. Tyler
Sparky.
Well, yeah, actually, why would they send that email?
Well, they're just trying to get in. I don't know if it's like accidental or if they're just trying to, like, again, they're already, we already know they're trying to break into the hexagonal anomaly. But
I definitely thought it was just Hayward and sending it to whoever his boss was, or maybe somebody else saying, like, yo, figure this out. Another thing from the email, it says high levels of radiation present at the perimeter. They talked about this episode four. I'm sorry. When Darcy got there, she was saying, hey, like, the radiation levels are safer now, but that doesn't mean they're not going to expand. So this could be, like we were saying, the beginning of Wanda covering the whole world.
And also, I don't know, like, what is going on with the force field turning red at the end of the episode. It could just literally be her shooting the radiation levels up. So now you can't safely go in anymore. I don't know. That could also play into it because, I don't know. So is it just a death beam now? Like,
that's
what
about, no, I was thinking that is just like you walk through and your just body dead. Just yeah. evaporates.
The
or fish
does red.
Oh, yeah. That's true. Just going to say something really cool about this show. When they first started identifying the residents, they were like, hey, Norm, Vision's coworker. And his picture blocked it, but there was a paragraph at the bottom of the description, and it was saying, like, is very involved with his family, his father's sick, like,
oh, really?
That's the first thing he thought of, which was really cool.
That's cool.
Yeah, so they're all these NPCs, quote-unquote, are very aware that they're being controlled, and they just have no, they're not driving the mind, right?
Mm.
So when he does freak out, and he looks at Vision, says, you have to stop her, she's in my head, before Vision zaps him back.
He says, nope, fuck you, go back.
Yeah.
He's like, I can't handle this right now.
Yeah. That's a whole can of worms I'm not messing with right now.
I got a wife and two kids at home, man. And then he goes, oh, if I send an email, where do I put the stamp?
Yeah.
So he's back to normal.
Right.
Normal.
Ha! Ah. Nice.
So I think that's the end of that scene. And now we are back at the house.
Yeah.
And the twins, Tommy and Billy, are starting to question reality a little bit because they're freaking out about the day of the week and why their dad Vision is at work on a Saturday, but Wanda's playing it off. No, it's Monday. And this is the part where it just, like, it keeps going back to it. Like, is she aware and she's just lying to them? Or is this just her coping and she's going back and forth between being aware or not.
I think there's a handful of characters that have their own conscious, and while we're watching WandaVision, and it's Vision, Agnes, and now the two boys, because they understand that all this isn't real too.
Weird,
and they've literally been in it for not even that long. And I don't know. I just think that they are, like we said, they're already real. So I just think that it's, I don't know if it's their powers or what that are helping them see through this charade, but.
Well, no, because we, in the earlier part of this episode, we know that her powers don't work on the kids when she tries to silence them.
Yeah.
So the mind control wouldn't work either.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So I do know that they are self-aware of everything going on right now. So it's interesting to see them take on this role of, because them and Vision are both all going to need their answers for what's going on.
Luke, I think she's just straight in denial. I mean, what's the stages of grieving? She hasn't got past one yet.
Yeah, I think she's partly in denial, and then towards the end of the episode, she's
fully aware.
Yeah. And she's also noticing that she isn't controlling everything, which we'll get into. But I'm sad that our boy Young Luke isn't going to stay around. Young Luke, meaning from Haunting of Hill House, because I'm guessing there's going to be one more jump, because if they do the Young Avengers show, they're probably going to be 15, 16.
Yeah, high school probably.
Yeah, which is a shame.
So something we forgot to mention earlier, with the conversation between Darcy, Rambo, and Wu when they got to the Kevlar outfit, Rambo had this idea. So when something goes into the anomaly, Wanda rewrites it to make sense for that time period.
Mm-hmm.
So what happens if something from that time period tries to go in?
Right.
So back at this scene, Wanda's still talking to the boys, and all of a sudden, Sparky starts barking at the door. The twins know something's there, and she says, "Stay here, I'll be right back." She opens the door, and Sparky runs out.
Yeah.
So I think, is that what leads to him chewing on some azalea leaves?
Yeah.
Okay. So Wanda kills Sparky, and then she goes out and she sees this drone flying through the sky.
Well, right before that happens, too, we do get the quick Tommy conversation with Pietro, right?
Oh, yeah. True.
So this is because Wanda's having a whole family sitcom moment saying, you know, family over everything, love your siblings, you guys, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then they ask, I think it's Tommy, asks if she has a sibling.
Yep.
And that's when she says Pietro, and then starts.
Well, she doesn't say his name. She just says, I have a brother.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
And he's far away.
Yeah.
She didn't say, dead. No, he's dead. Yeah. He said he's far away.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that we haven't seen any powers from the twins yet. Like, I was waiting for like Tommy to start like going all fast or something. Like,
oh, that would be sick.
I was totally expecting it. At least when the dog died,
that
moment of sadness would awaken them, but nothing happened.
I mean, they age. Is that them, or do you think that's somebody else?
We already were saying that. I just think it's part of the anomaly, and they're just aware of it. I mean, unless Wiccan's doing it because he's like Scarlet Witch.
Do you imagine how shitty of a power that would be? You could just age yourself.
Yeah, right.
Never go down.
Yeah.
Jewelry Bonnie from One Piece.
No, but you can't.
Oh, you can't
go down.
Oh,
you can only go up.
Well, fuck that.
Yeah, right.
Shitty power then.
All right, so the dog runs out the front door. We have the quick brother conversation. Mm. And then this is when the music starts changing a little bit, and we're getting the perspective of the drone being monitored and flown by S.W.O.R.D., but mostly Monica. She's leading it.
Mm-hmm. Let me just say, though, that for being an 80s drone, that thing looks fucking futuristic as hell. Honestly.
Yeah, Hayward,
that looks like the X-Wing, man.
Yeah,
Hayward drops a line just to confirm. He goes, I know this is tech from the 80s, but can we sharpen the visuals?
Dude, that shit looked like it was this era.
I know. So imagine the shit that they got now, and they're not telling us.
So wait, X-Wing is Luke's, right? Yeah. I meant to say X-Jet. X-Men's Jet. Yeah.
The X-Wing is Luke's.
Yeah.
You idiot.
You idiot.
Also around this part, I think it's from either Jimmy or Darcy, we get an explicit confirmation that Wanda has been the one cutting all of the broadcast blips, so that, you know, when they weren't catching the weird radio scene with Dottie earlier.
Mm-hmm, yep.
And then anytime like some reality breaks, those blips are attributed to Wanda specifically.
Yeah. Darcy and Wu are kind of at a different monitor, and they're looking at the broadcast, and they're saying, we can't see the drone. Mm-hmm. Wanda's framing it out of the shot.
Right.
Yeah.
So that's good, because we talked about that and wanted some answers there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so as the drone's there now, Monica's talking to Wanda. And then, of course, they're going to make some leeway here if you give it a minute, because she's still Geraldine to Wanda a little bit. So they have something to talk about. And then, of course, dumbass Tyler just green lights the shooting of the missile right at her. And then one of the coolest shots of the entire episode, her eyes just go, you know, pure scarlet. And then,
and it's crazy because that's like one of those things where it's actual black and white 80s technology that she's making go red.
Yeah.
You know,
that's cool. I didn't think about that.
It's not like her whatever 60s sitcom where we see the red helicopter. She's actually going in, you know?
Yeah. I didn't think about that.
And what is also weird is Wanda doesn't say anything back. Her eyes just turned red, and then Hayward's like, no joy. Okay, take the shot.
Yep.
So it was basically, that was the signal for Hayward. Like, hey, fuck her. She's coming for us.
He's been watching The Boys, man. He knows Homelander when he gets his eyes go red.
And Rambo goes like, take the shot. What do you mean? It's not even armed.
Yeah.
The little, you know, co-pilot a few computers away takes over, and he takes the shot, and it just kind of cuts. Mm. And she stands up and is like, what the hell are you doing? Like, this is not what we talked about.
Then the alarm goes off. Some shit's going down right now.
This is the best scene.
This is one of the most badass scenes in Marvel in general, MCU history.
Hell yeah. Dude.
So they all pour outside, right outside of Westview, right on the border of the barrier and themselves. And Wanda walks out of the barrier holding the drone or the missile and just throws it down. And she's looking to pick a fight.
Yeah.
She's got like 15 guns aimed right at her.
Those are going to do absolutely nothing to the Scarlet Witch.
Just her walk out of the force field was so dope. Like it was just flashing it. You could see her Stillhouse just on the way, man. She just walks out with her powers blaring on the drone and just throws it right back at them. She's so awesome when she's just full tilt mode.
And she's also full Sokovian accent again.
Mm-hmm. I was literally going to comment that as well. Yeah. What's the deal here?
So there's the theme going on that people think whenever she really dips into reality, that's when her Sokovian accent comes back a little bit, which makes sense because when it comes back later on is when Pietro gets revealed at the door and it kind of comes back a little bit. But this line where she goes, oh, is this yours? And throws it at Hayward's feet. The internet was just blowing up and it was like War Machine, like boom.
Yep.
You looking for this? That's what the line was.
I just don't know how you could confidently stand there. I don't care if there was 1,000 people with guns pointed at her, how you would even want to be in that area knowing she's pissed off.
Yeah.
Just, are you freaking kidding me?
Darcy and Jimmy and them are just chilling like with their popcorn. I'd be like running.
Dude, she could just kill everybody.
Hayward is saying all the wrong things too. She's just like, look.
Hayward's first line, oh, the missile is just a precaution. Like, for what?
Not a precaution, meaning like it's not sitting on the drone. It was shot at you as a precaution.
I was going to stop it.
I said fire as a precaution, Wanda.
I wasn't
going
to let it hit you.
Yeah. Jeez.
I just wanted to see if you could stop it. I mean, I figured you could.
He says it was just a precaution. I don't think you can blame us. And she was like, yeah, I think I can.
Yeah.
And then she offers the deal. She's like, if you don't fuck with my life, I won't fuck with yours. But Hayward does bring up the point. He's like, well, you have 1,000 people hostage. We need to get involved in this. And Wanda's not taking any of that at
all. It's a rational point.
It is a rational point, and she just doesn't understand it. She's just not capable of understanding that what she's doing is wrong. Mm-hmm. Sure, these people are living fine lives, but they're not living their own. So
yeah, he says you're holding people hostage. She's like, I'm not the one with the guns. And Monica's like, you're the one in control of this. You're doing this right now to this whole entire town.
I like that Monica steps in there. And then she also says, you gave me some form of responsibility in your world. Like, I fucking helped give birth to your children.
Yeah.
You got to listen to me.
She says, you know that we're allies. We're not enemies.
On some level, you must understand.
Yes.
Internally.
Yeah. And did we even comment on the fact that she's wearing her sick ass Avengers?
No, we didn't. But it's awesome.
So cool. I was actually going to say, so I'm going to start a new segment called Paul's sexiest scene of the episode. And this is the first annual Paul's sexiest scene of the episode. Once a year. No, first ever sexy scene. Dude, she looks so good coming out here with like her hair's back to normal.
Yep.
She's showing a little cleave. She's got the entire badass uniform on. I'm so cool. Just chills.
I'm going to be honest. The outfit that got me going was that 80s outfit she was rocking with when the dog gets introduced, like that exact with the jeans. Oh, that outfit was getting me
going. The high-waisted mom jeans.
Mom jeans.
With the Converse. I like the Converse on her.
Dave's sexiest scene of the episode.
Sorry.
All right. So now we get one of the probably the second coolest moment of this whole scene is when, you know, Wanda is pretty much done with this conversation and she's going to go full defensive mode here. But she uses her powers in the coolest mind control way ever, where she just infects every single one of the soldiers that are around Tyler.
Instantly.
And they, oh, so cool. Instantly. And they all just turn their lasers right onto him. And he's freaking out for a second. But that just shows you two things. One, she didn't have him instantly killed. So that means that there's still good in her and she's not like full evil yet. So that leaves Mephisto on the board still. And then two, her ability to control minds is just, what is it called in when you're a mutant, not an S-tier mutant.
Telepathic?
Or? No. Like when you're, there's like five of them.
Omega.
Omega. Yeah. She's basically like, how can you be better than her on the screen? She's so fucking powerful.
She didn't have to touch any of them, look at any of them. She just conjured up her hex powers, shot it all at them. And I literally thought Hayward was dead. I thought she was going to, no hesitation, pull the trigger.
That's what I'm saying. So she still has some morals.
She's got some good.
I mean, she's pretty much just showing him who's boss right here. Don't mess with me.
This was a horrible interaction for S.W.O.R.D. because the end of this conversation is Wanda saying, how could you possibly know what's best for me? Rambo says, what do you want? I have everything that I want and nobody's going to take it away from me ever again.
Yeah.
So you can't bargain with her. I mean, there's nothing she wants. Mm-hmm. She wants you to get the fuck out.
Yeah, exactly.
So Wanda walks back to the anomaly and just turns the entire thing red now. It looks like a menacing red.
I dare say it's Scarlet.
Yeah. Now, I thought it was really cool when they're in the S.W.O.R.D. facility, how they have the camera or the monitor on Wanda when they're going to shoot her. And then when she comes out of the anomaly, it's please stand by on the broadcast. Like,
oh, that's great.
So, but we did talk about it. We think, me and Luke at least think, it's just an instant touch thing. If you touch that barrier, you're dead. But we don't fucking know what it is. They haven't experimented with sending anyone.
Bottom line is the defense got upped.
Yeah. I think that's the takeaway.
S.W.O.R.D.
here.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
You're going to need a 20,000.
Where's
pounds.
The beekeeper?
Dead.
He's honestly dead. Yeah. Wait, that's true. Because
I feel like if he died, they would have said like she killed someone. So I don't know.
Probably just like showed up in like Japan or something crazy. She probably just like
flashed him. Yeah. So, all right. So after Wanda walks back into Westview, we get one of the classic commercials that have nothing to do with anything, but they're kind of symbolism and metaphors, whatever you want to call it. And it's Lagos paper towels saying, you know, cleaning up messes. Did anyone write down?
Lagos is for when you make a mess you didn't mean to. So Lagos was where the city that she effed up.
Right. We saw the explosion.
Yeah,
in
during
the S.W.O.R.D.
Civil
meeting.
War.
Yep.
And huge Easter egg. The juice was red. And
blood will be spilled soon.
There's a lot of red in this show. But did you actually see where the juice was from? Westview Juicery.
That's
what the little carton said.
It's probably all they got going for them in that small town.
Yeah.
And juice.
Again, in the 80s, like, your husband can use it too.
Yeah. when you make a mess, your husband can clean.
Is this the same two actors as every...
I didn't look it up this time. I'm going to guess yes, because they've been doing it every time, but I didn't look it up this time.
And yes, the Lagos, the mess you didn't want to clean up, is referring to in Lagos... when she saved Captain America and threw, who was that, the Punisher?
Crossbones,
Jesus Christ.
Punisher, bro.
It's not even close.
Talk about someone I would love to see.
He could.
Yeah. Well, they already, they pretty much confirmed that some of the Netflix characters are coming.
Yeah, he said, Shane from Walking Dead, I forget what his actual name is.
Yeah.
But I think he wants to do it. He wants to do more Punisher.
Yeah.
Okay, so we get, the boys run around the neighborhood yelling, looking for Sparky because he ran out the door when Wanda killed him. And they really quickly show the mailman.
Yeah. Again, he's so weird. What's his deal?
I don't know.
So he comes in during the first episode, right? Is it the first or second episode? Whatever, because we basically count them as one episode.
Is it the beekeeper?
No. He's because the beekeeper doesn't come until the end of episode two,
right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. And the mailman is introduced, I'm pretty sure, in the beginning of episode two.
Yeah. The mailman's the one that's talking to Agnes and Wanda before, when they're talking about the bunny for Mr. Scratches or what's his name? Mr. Scratchy or whatever, the bunny. And again, that's the only reason I'm saying the name is because actually Agatha Harkness's son is that name.
Yeah,
Nicholas Scratch.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever.
So Melman, Mephisto confirmed?
Yeah, right.
God. Is that what's going on?
He's just another one where it's weird because he's kind of saying things like he's aware.
Yeah, but it's like your mom will take care of it. Like,
yeah.
And then ma'am. Like, and he calls them little dudes too, which is interesting.
That's well, we know all about the little dudes. We cover Carnival Road.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And this is where we get Agnes coming up from behind the azalea bush, and she's kind of has something in her arms and a towel. Says, "I didn't want to bring him to you before I wrapped him up. I found him eating my azalea bush. He was basically like passed out when I found him."
Rest in peace, Sparky, man.
Yeah, rest in peace, Mephisto.
Finally, finally killed himself like he's been trying to do all episode. And
it's so funny that you guys say that because I didn't think of that at all. But now you're saying it, I think, it, you know, it's being a thing in my head. But
yeah,
the dog trying to kill himself.
And then it connected to Agnes like that. Yeah. I hope that's a thing.
Oh, definitely. And the boys immediately look like they're about to cry. They look at each other, they nod. And Wanda goes, "No, no, no, don't do that. Don't you age up. You know, it's easy to run away from this feeling." And then they go into like a whole personal talk about
bring him back to life and she says you can't reverse death.
Yeah. So
damn hypocrite.
The twins.
Yeah.
The twins finally said, "Well, you can save anything. Why don't you save the dead?" And Agnes goes, Can you really do that?
Yeah.
Is that a thing?
Yep.
That was weird.
Yeah.
She's never asked her a question like that before.
Yeah. That wasn't on character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, that was completely off script.
Exactly. And you could tell by her tone of voice when she's not in the neighbor character.
Mm-hmm.
So I probably got this off of just like an article or something I was reading. Maybe it was Reddit. But, you know, people dissected that line as meaning back to Agnes's introduction as a character. We have yet to meet her husband, and she always talks about her husband a little bit. Like, you get a couple lines every episode that she's in about it. Some people are theorizing that her husband is dead, and she is a witch, but she doesn't have the ability to bring the dead back to life. So she's using, you can wrap this whole, either maybe the dog dying. I don't know if that's too much thought
well,
into
I mean,
but if she's going to use Wanda to bring her husband back, there's something there.
But this is another point that the boys are self-aware of their mom and her powers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like, they absolutely know that she could probably bring this dog back to life if she really wanted to. But this, it's like you were saying, Jimmy, she's a hypocrite. Like, I don't know if she's just trying to, this is a way for her to cope with her feelings, like, because her brother's dead, you know, Vision's dead. So this whole weird conversation of death is just, it's interesting to see this affecting her mentally.
Yeah.
Last thing, or one of the things from this scene that I thought was really cool, you can see Agnes's license plate, and it's 3G6M5J. And if you rearrange that and add some letters and take a few numbers out, it spells Mephisto. So
damn, bro.
Mephisto lives.
I think you cracked it.
Mephisto lives there.
There is no way the writers were ready for you.
If you remove all those numbers and put 666 on the license plate, that's Mephisto's number.
Exactly.
But yeah, I think she's just like total hypocrite. She's just trying to teach the kids you can't reverse death, even though she can. I honestly thought she was going to bring the dog back. I thought that by the end of that scene, she was just going to do it.
Just to shut her kids up.
And we also mentioned this earlier. I thought their powers of some sort were going to awaken in this moment. You know, a Super Saiyan kind of thing, just of awakening powers and grieving, but nothing happened.
At the end of the scene, we get Vision coming in for a little bit, right?
Yeah.
They have the conversation. He finds out about the dog dying, right?
Yeah.
So before we walk back to the house and they have their deep conversation, Paul, I think this is a good time to give me all the reasons I shouldn't trust Agnes.
Okay.
Because this is her last scene of the episode.
Mm-hmm. I'm actually going to save that because that's part of the next segment I have.
You have another segment?
I got another
segment. You're working hard, man.
I got segments.
Okay, then we could just take it right back to the house later that night, and it's just Vision and Wanda in the kitchen. The kids are not around at this point, and Vision is just ready for some goddamn answers. He's about to call Wanda out on everything, and this is another really well acted scene. This is another really well acted scene where Wanda's still going in and out of, even if it's just a fake appearance of knowing what reality is and not, but Vision is just losing his shit. And this is when he says that really good quote that I brought up earlier, saying, "You can't control me the way you do them."
Yep.
And that was one of the biggest questions we had in the probably first couple of podcast episodes, is knowing if Vision was an NPC. When the first time we really talked about it was when he went outside without Wanda around, and you see Agnes talking to the other neighbor. I think his name was Herb.
Yep.
Yeah, something like that. And he has that break in reality too, where he like cuts through the metal wall.
Yeah.
And Vision is just questioning his reality. And this is the first time that we got a confirmation that Vision is not an NPC.
Yeah, you know? Exactly. So she pretty much brought him back to life.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's only possible because he's not a living creature. Like, he was all machine for the most part, right? Like, mm-hmm. there were no human parts to him. So I think the reason why she's able to do this is because he was a machine. Like, she grabbed his body, clearly manipulated to the point where he can come back to life. But I think if he leaves Westview, I don't think.
So do you think
that's a good
question? So do you think that means that Billy and Tommy are going to be not real either when they leave Westview?
So I was holding this in all podcast episode. The quote that we get here when they're arguing is one side that he brings up is that there are no other children around in Westview.
Yeah.
So that got me thinking. Tommy and Billy are the only two children around. Like, did she siphon the life energy of like all the kids around to make a real kid that's hers? Like,
now
I have no idea.
100% the big bad if she
did.
Dude,
if she did that, holy shit.
That's
because
what I was getting from this is that she's basically used all of that life energy to create something that was real and not just like a vision thing where she's using her powers.
That's really cool you say that. I didn't think about that at all, and I love that you're saying that, because Billy and Tommy were made with the dark energy, the pieces of Mephisto's right. soul, two pieces of Mephisto's soul. So if you're gonna say that it's like pieces of these children's souls, holy shit, she's a big bad. Mm-hmm. And yeah. also there's got to be something, because we were talking about early in the episodes where they keep doing for the children, they're doing a freaking
for nothing.
Totally.
Yeah, there's no children.
Totally forgot about that.
Yeah. There's something
with the magic show.
Was, yeah.
Yeah.
For
yeah.
the children. For the children. They keep chanting it. And the magic show and the whole thing was to raise money. There's no children.
I think this is one of the biggest Holy questions shit. We have going forward with this series is the children. Like, what exactly is their purpose in all this? If there is one, are they actually nothing for us to worry about, or were they actually a part of something bigger here? You know,
dude, my mind's racing. I totally forgot about the for the children
thing. I completely slipped my head. Yeah, that's amazing.
Are they just saying like, thank you for the sacrifice for the children?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. But that was just, I don't know. I just connected it with Tommy.
Yeah.
I think there is a connection personally between Tommy and Billy and the rest of the kids of Westview.
Well, damn. What I was going to say wasn't nearly as cool as that. I was just going to go back to the conversation. I just loved how Vision started it by saying he was playing it cool. Like, oh, how are the boys? They're good. I talked to Norm. I unearthed the man's like suppressed personality, like without your influence or something like that.
Yeah.
And then they just go right into it. And Vision's main point was these people are in pain. Like, why are you doing this?
You could see it in Vision's face that he was losing Wanda as the person he knew and loved, whereas now she's just some dictator almost.
And Vision has a crazy line. Wanda's like, oh, Vision, like, you're crazy, let's just turn in for the night, you're tired. He goes, no, like, turn in for the night and watch TV so you can just change everything over again tomorrow.
And the credits are rolling as this is going on, which I like that you brought that up, because I thought that was funny that even though she's trying to end the episode, Vision's still going through with it.
Yeah, that would be a crazy power. And oh, I control you? Snap your fingers, fall asleep.
And she's just denying everything.
It starts to escalate, exactly. He even starts saying, I don't remember anything before Westview. He says, I'm scared. Like, I don't know my past before this place. And then they start rise off the air, which is so cool. Yeah. They're actually using their powers and they're facing off, because these two are some of the baddest motherfuckers in the Marvel universe, and they're so goddamn strong that if they were to fight, really, that would just be unbelievable.
I think we're in agreement. Scarlet Witch would probably win that fight one-on-one. But if they were both full power, I think
it's called WandaVision, not Vision Wanda.
Yeah, right.
That's awesome. Vision even said to her, okay, I can believe that maybe you weren't aware of what you were doing at first and it wasn't your fault. But now you know. And he's hitting her with like heavy questions, like, what is the Maximoff anomaly? He straight up says that.
And he asks, what's outside of Westview? You know, what's going on in the outside world? Mm-hmm.
I think it's really important, the fact that she starts like arguing with him in a way where she's saying, do you really think I'm controlling everyone's daily tasks? Like the guy mowing the lawn, the person making their dentist appointment. And then she says, I don't know how any of this started in the first place. That's where I feel like that's her first. Maybe someone else is. Maybe this did start somehow and she's just part of it.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Which I could see her making a deal with Mephisto or something like that. Hey, I want to bring Vision back. I'll give you whatever you want. And like,
yeah,
Mephisto straight up like took over her body, went and got Vision.
Did we talk about this on the pod, or was this texting when I said I thought that she could have made a deal with Mephisto?
No, we've talked about it.
It was on the pod. Okay. It was probably episode 3 you had mentioned.
Okay.
That.
Okay.
Cue the knocking on the door, which Vision kind of jokes about. It's just like, of course, like she said she didn't do it, but Vision was like, yeah, I think you did.
Yeah. At this
to
point,
to avoid the reality of what's going on, you know?
Yeah. At this point, I'm ignoring statistics entirely. Like that. I also, I don't want to backtrack. So never mind. I'll keep going.
You can backtrack all you want, bro. Ronda does it all the time.
Yeah. I was just going to say, I loved how Vision's floating there saying like, you don't get to make that choice for me. Like what I want, what I get to know, like, who the hell do you think you are? And she's like, you never talked to me like that before. Mm-hmm. So, like the doorbell rings and obviously Vision isn't going to get it. He's like, fuck that. I'm not in the mood. Wanda goes up, opens it. And while this is happening, we're getting split shots with the sword compound.
Yeah.
And Darcy's running to her computer.
Alarms are going off.
Still.
And I don't know if is it still or is it separate? That's what I want to ask you guys.
Okay. Okay.
Is it another alarm? I would say it's another alarm.
I would agree.
Now that you say that, I was thinking it was just originally the first one, they're freaking out. I could totally see like they were getting like some charge of energy because of Quicksilver/Pizza.
Yeah, I'm in. Okay. And hopefully it's explained away where he got pulled into the reality rather than him walking through, because then it kind of takes away from the red shield.
Yeah, see, I don't even know with the red shield. I just took it as like she just used her chaos magic to like
maybe
to put it back up or to keep it. I didn't really know if it was building it up. It probably is, but I don't know. That's not how I took it the first time I watched it.
So yeah, we should probably say she goes to the door, she opens it up. You don't see. You see the back of the head a little bit. Vision says, "Who is this man?"
Cue me thinking it's Captain America.
Before you see the gray hair, I hope. Yeah. Unless it's old man.
No, that's what I was in my head. I was like, that's old man Chris Evans. But I was like, that doesn't sync up with anything going on. So it wouldn't work out. But then
imagine?
They show it's Pietro. So
ridiculous. So when they show the back of the head, this is 100% Marvel just fucking with their fans.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, oh, like. I knew Quicksilver was coming back. Like, oh, Marvel couldn't pull a fast one on me. Shows the face, Evan Peters. What the fuck? Yeah, they did pull a fast one on me. Nobody saw that.
The back
coming.
Of that head looked like Aaron Taylor Johnson, man.
I agree. No, I besides me thinking it was Captain America first, I thought it was, that actor for Quicksilver. But this is where we get the groundbreaking stuff. We're finally seeing that crossover of MCU universes. And I was hyped to see it, though, honestly.
There is so much to unpack here. But I want to start by just saying that he responds as Pietro and not Peter, which is notable because in all of the X-Men First Class line of movies, he is Peter.
Yep.
So then there's the whole thought where, is he actually the exact Fox version of this character, or is he reprising his role as another third dimension, being neither the Marvel Cinematic Universe, the Fox one, where he is Pietro? You could just take it so many ways and why he would
like
be
you're
responding
saying,
that
is,
way.
Is it a recast, or is it Peter from the Fox
films? Yes. And then that's also just real quickly. That's when we get the funny Darcy line saying she recast Pietro.
And that's really funny that's why I'm saying we obviously know that she didn't do this. And if she did do it, she would be cutting him out of the feed.
I was going to say
the fact that Darcy can see Evan Peters, that she's so distracted that she's not controlling the feed, because obviously when the 80s jet came in, that wasn't her doing that, but she can control the feed to not show it. But she's so distracted by seeing, quote unquote, her brother,
not her brother, but recast.
That she's not controlling the feed right now so they can see it.
Luke, to go along with what you were saying, his first lines are, long lost bro gets to squeeze his stinging sister to death or what? Who's this popsicle? So he doesn't know who Vision is either, and our Pietro knows who Vision is.
And also, that's kind of the lingo that he uses in the Fox movies.
Oh, yeah, it's straight up. He's New Yorker. Like, it's straight up the same Evan Peters.
Isn't he eating a popsicle in X-Men at one point?
I don't even know, to be honest.
I think maybe I'm making that up.
I was totally expecting her to just be like, who are you? Like, but she did confirm it's the brother. But I like how you guys are mentioning that there's both parts of each character in this one.
There's a lot of ways they can go with it.
I was just going to say a couple cool things. He is basically in like the leather jacket. He's like the Uncle Jesse to this. And also when he played Quicksilver in the X-Men movies, that movie took place in the 80s. This episode of WandaVision takes place in the 80s. So
it's only right that he's getting introduced at this time.
Yeah, there's theories going around like if Mephisto is involved, like he went and grabbed the Quicksilver from that time period and tried to make sense and threw it in, even if it's the wrong one.
And this also plays into what I was saying earlier with how she's able to revive non-humans. Because if her brother's dead, then she can't revive him. And that's a fact. And we see that here. Because otherwise, it would be the actual Pietro.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, she definitely didn't do this. And
so, yeah, like, exactly.
Is it definite? Because the line she has when she's talking to Tommy and Billy and says that, yeah, like, I have a brother, but he's really far away and, like, has that zone out moment. There's not a way that she could have.
I mean, she could. Yeah, I mean, I'm just guessing that she didn't do it because of the way she reacted. But I mean, right. She definitely could have been the one to do it.
Going to the alarms, it also could have been her using so much power. The alarms go off because of it to summon him or whatever. So,
all right. So I guess do we want to get into it? Is he Quicksilver from the Fox or is he Mephisto? Because last episode, Paul, you said how sweet would it be or how. I don't know now. I guess we'll talk about what we prefer. But how sweet would it be if it's Evan Peters showing up as Quicksilver and then fakes us out and it is Mephisto?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's not that because that would be too cool and perfect.
Well, let me just bring up my thing. So I caught this and I brought it into the group chat before you, Luke, and Dave watched. So Brian, Paul saw it and Brian didn't like it. So
okay.
It is on the internet. I did see the next day it popped up on the internet too. So other people were thinking it. When Evan Peters walks in or she opens the door and Evan Peters is sitting there, it shows the angle. The camera turns and you see the back of Wanda and you see part of Evan Peters in the mirror, but it's distorted and his hand's red.
Really?
Now, I have a picture of it, and it could just be, like, me really, like...
Reaching.
Like, but people have, besides me, brought it up.
Oh, fuck yeah. I need to see this picture right
now. I have the picture and the pic. Like, I would rather you freeze frame it on the actual Disney stream.
Mm-hmm. I'm going for it right now. I'm trying to find it.
Because whenever those things happen, like, whenever they have the camera angles like that, I was sitting next to Steph, and I was like, pause.
So I got it right there. You see that?
See that? And there's nothing red on his body.
It's a little blurry. there's a little something on each side. I can't tell.
So is that red or is that just like a faraway angle and it just not red enough? What's the thing next to his freaking arm anyway? Like, I mean, why is her arm? Why has she got skin color and he's red?
Fucking Mephisto, dude.
I'm in for that.
I want this to be real so badly, because then you don't have to worry about the loops of like him being Pietro versus Peter. Like that would have easily explainable away. Like I think that would be so good.
But then
that,
again, let's
turn out to be.
So let's talk about it. That's what you would prefer, because does that mean that you don't want the other Fox people to show up, or do you think that they can still show up if he's not like, because if he's Quicksilver? But actually Mephisto, and they're just faking us out and trolling us. That's not really actually bringing the Fox into the MCU. Yeah,
it's not really confirming the multiverse theory,
right.
Which that could be an MCU move because they faked us out with the multiverse and Spider-Man Far From Home.
They could do both.
Yeah.
They could do both. But I'm just saying at this point, it's like Quicksilver Evan Peters shows up and it's not Mephisto. Bam. It's confirmed. Everything's confirmed.
Mm-hmm.
Fox. But if it's Mephisto, then we have to wait a little longer to see if someone else shows up.
I don't know. I think it's still going to confirm it either way, just because his presence already being there just shows that we're headed in that direction. So I think either way, we're going to get that clash.
I think it would be...
After what you're saying, man, it just sounds like to me Pietro here is going to be Mephisto, which I'm all in for. I'm interested to see if they do bring him up at all into this whole thing, because there's a lot of plot holes that we've been dissecting that just make sense if his character is introduced to us.
I think it would feel uncomfortable and sloppy if they did make him Mephisto and then didn't. Yeah, because the actor being the same, that seems like they're both taunting Marvel fans and then making it weird by taking some of the Fox characters that aren't the one that they showed.
Yeah.
So you're right. I don't really like the idea of doing both.
Yeah.
But either way could be done really well. If they full Fox, or do they do go full Mephisto? Or he is Fox and Mephisto's brought in another way, which would be the best of both worlds, but I don't know if it would organically make sense.
I mean, the deal is, no matter what, Deadpool comes, and he can make sense just because he breaks the fourth wall and he can just be Deadpool. Mm-hmm. They can just decide that every mutant from now on is their own mutants. They can just recast Professor X, recast Magneto, no Fox. That's usually what you would think they would do. Mm-hmm. So they can do that if they want. But we already know that Spider-Man multiverse and stuff, they're going to bring Sony people in. I just have a feeling that certain Fox ones are going to come in. So I just want it to be Mephisto because I caught it in the mirror and I feel like I'm the man right now. But I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm just talking it out with you guys on the pod. I don't know what I would actually prefer.
Yeah, I think, again, it's just going to, either way can be done really well. So yeah. I don't think like it's, I'm not going to say that if it goes one plot way, it's going to be shitty no matter what. But
I think the most obvious answer is that he's Evan Peters, Quicksilver, and the Fox guys are coming in with the multiverse.
So is him going by Pietro not important?
I mean, Mephisto can be a thing. It just doesn't have to be him as Mephisto. Like, maybe Mephisto's the one bringing him in.
Yeah, I'm saying, like, why wouldn't that, if that is the Fox version of Quicksilver, why is he not, why is he responding to not Peter?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I don't know. Like, at some point, if they bring Magneto in, he's going to be their dad. Like, I'm pretty sure in the comics as well that they have other parents before Magneto is revealed as their dad, too. Mm-hmm. But it is weird that he answered to Pietro. And I don't know the Fox movies enough to if they ever brought up the fact that he's Peter, but he could have been Pietro, like, mm-hmm, as true, a like his actual name, like James versus Jim.
Dude, nobody knows. There's like a million different ways it can go.
Sparky will be Mephisto. He brought in Evan Peters.
Just feels like I say this after every episode, but I just need the next episode. You know? Right. I just want to, like, this was such a great cliffhanger to see. I hope that we don't get like a full spinoff episode with him being involved in the spinoffs. I just want more plot at this point in time, which I think we're so far beyond the point of it organically being a spinoff now, because Vision, the kids, they all are aware of all this. So I think we're going to get less of that, but I don't want another spinoff.
We know that they're still going to be doing the sitcoms, but just hopefully keep it like this.
Exactly. Exactly.
Crazy, insane episode. I got a little bit more to hit us with here. Okay. So one thing I just wanted to bring up real quick before I get into my segment is, did you guys see the weird editing with the episode 4 at the end? Vision comes in, says, "Where's Geraldine?" Wanda says, "She left, honey. She had to rush home." The beginning of episode 5, previously on WandaVision, they show that scene. Mm. She says, "She's gone. She didn't belong here." Marvel is kings of like dropping little secrets like that. Yeah. So what the hell does that mean? Like, now I have to pay attention to previously on.
Well, you're a podcaster. You better.
Yeah, I will. Okay, so this section is kind of basically just a couple theories, and it's basically called vibe or high. So you guys are either vibing with me with my ideas,
or you're on crack,
or you think I'm high. I'm just making shit up. So you can give me a 1, which is you're vibing with me. 2 is on the fence. I can see it, but not likely. And 3 is you're high. So,
okay. All right.
Agnes is Agatha, and she is working with Mephisto, who's acting as Hayward.
I'm already on 2. I got vibes. Like, I'm not thinking you're on crack, but I'm also not thinking that's a full definite. Okay. Yet.
Basically, the reasons for Agnes, I mean, we talked about it. She's there where whenever the kids age up, her first appearance was where she asked Wanda to run it again. That's like the first time of somebody ever doing that. Like we said, she's there for the kids every time they age up. She is just present.
She drinks a lot.
Yeah, she asked Wanda if she could really like save people from the dead or bring them back from the dead. She was really curious about it. You brought this up, Jimmy, like the first episode, she talked about the devil and her husband and being that. Mm-hmm. And maybe it's not her husband, but maybe she's working with Mephisto. And I had the anti-Agnes and anti-Agatha thing. And then Hayward, I just had, you know, he called the strike. He was convinced that he was trying to convince everybody Wanda was a bad guy. And when he said in episode 4 he was the only choice, maybe he made it so he was the only choice so he could get in there to power.
See, that would imply that he's been aware of this since the pre-blip, because he got you know, like he, so mm-hmm. he, so Mephisto's just been in charge of S.W.O.R.D. for the last 5 years, is what you're saying? Because it would have had to be through the whole.
Or is he just taking the shape of him now? Like,
could be.
I'm going to say you're high for that part.
Okay. Yeah, that one. Yeah.
I'm vibing with Agnes being very, if Mephisto's a character, I'm vibing with Agnes knowing about that.
Agnes, the fact that Agnes will say something to Wanda, like, should we take that from the top and break in the fourth wall? And she doesn't throw her out of the anomaly like she did with Geraldine. She has to be somehow working with Wanda, or somehow they know each other. I'm still fine with the fact that she would be partly with Mephisto, but you're high for the Hayward thing, I would say.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a stretch.
Agreed? Anything?
No, it's right on point.
Yeah.
Met me in the middle of two.
So all these don't go together because this one kind of contradicts that one a little bit. So when Wanda was asked, do you have a brother? She lied and said, yes, he's very far away.
Yeah.
Do you think that lie, she created him in that anomaly reality?
By accident?
Just because she said, yes, he's alive, he's just far away. And when he showed up, he acted like he didn't see her. He was far away for a long time. So do you think she accidentally?
I'm saying it's a possibility.
I'm good with
I'll give
that.
You a two. I'll give you a two on that one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll give you. So wait, one's good, right?
Yeah.
I'll give you one and a half. Cool. I like that. That's cool because it's just another way to explain it. I mean, she's going to have to be the one that breaks the multiverse situation at some point, I'm guessing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I'm going to go one and a half on that because.
Guys, steal my thunder. Here.
Just like you said, Jimmy, I think we haven't had signs. Like any glaring signs of Mephisto being a character. So this trends on the possibility of it just being all her, like her summoning him. So I'll give it one and a half.
Then there's a third contradictory one. What if Agnes brought Pietro back because she brought back the wrong one because she didn't know? She called him Pietro, not Peter. She was saying the whole thing with Vision.
So you're saying
that
Evan Peters shows up. Wanda has no idea about it, so it could be Agnes that brought him.
Because she didn't hear the doorbell. She was like, oh, that's not me. So
yeah,
somebody else brought him in there.
So, yeah, like my take is if Mephisto's a thing, it was Mephisto.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or she's just losing control of her powers. Or Agnes is fine. I mean, I'm two with that. You're not high, bro.
I agree. I concur.
All right. So this one is the last one. It's a little weird. So when Pietro shows up,
you're high, dude.
I'm always high. When Pietro shows up and it shows his face finally, the audience cheers. Like, like there's a sitcom audience cheering. Wanda's face is like completely shocked. I don't think she controlled that at all. So do you think Agnes, aka Agatha, or Mephisto, you could say somebody else is controlling the broadcast? And Wanda isn't editing it at all. Somebody else is.
Kind of just blew my mind a little bit because that is a big deal now that I think about it, that she is usually that we think the one that controls everything. And if she's like shocked and she's not controlling it, why would they clap on the sitcom? That's a big deal. And again, I want to give you a two because I don't know who's controlling it. It could be, you know, like you're saying, is it Agnes? Is it Mephisto? But I think that the fact that they're cheering and she's not reacting that way is a big deal.
I think we're all on the same page of someone else is definitely playing a role in this town, I think. At least that's where I'm more leaning towards at this point in time.
It would be more fun for that to be the answer, because then that steps away from Wanda being the big bad after this. And I don't want that to be a thing.
I honestly think that if they want to make Wanda a big bad, but they also want to bring Elizabeth Olsen back, because why wouldn't you want to? Reprieve her at some point, have someone else make her go cray. Because if you do the whole House of M thing, actual House of M thing, like she's actually crazy. So how are you ever going to have her as an Avenger again? Yeah. You know, I mean, obviously in the comics, she's good in superhero again and stuff, but in MCU movies, how could you have a huge event like House of M where she's just straight bad guy and then be like, I'll see you in the next Avengers?
I wouldn't want that.
It wouldn't
at
work
all.
Like it does in the comics.
Kill her off. Right. Kill her off. Or if she's the big bad, kill her off. That's it. Or just don't make her the big bad at all.
Well, that's
or,
what he's saying. Like, Mephisto is directly causing her to be the big bad, then there's redemption on the table.
Yeah.
I'm so excited for these episodes to come out.
All right. Last one. Hayward is Mephisto, went into the anomaly to become Pietro, and him passing through the anomaly wall set off the alarm, and that's why there was alarm going on when Pietro got involved.
You're high.
Vibing.
Yeah. Let's go.
Yeah.
All right, so to end our episode, I just want to put a prediction on the board now, because I think we just passed the halfway point, so we have episode 6, 7, 8, 9, 4 more left. So now is a good time, because I think we're going to get answers directly into the next episode of Agnes and like what's going on with her. So do you, and I know a lot of Paul's questions right there are related to her, so we're thinking about her. I just want to know what you guys think. Is Agnes evil or good? And I want that documented, because this is our guest. We'll reflect on this later.
Good. I'm going to go with good, just because she's, I think, a mediator to some level for Wanda. And she even tries to protect Vision, I think, from some things as well. Like when we saw him come home and she was talking with the other neighbor and, you know, she's like basically covering up the whole world. And I think knowing what the reality is would hurt Vision. So I think she was really trying to protect him there. Like, I think at the end of the day, she's going to be good. But that's just so hard for us to guess with everything we've seen. But based off what I'm seeing, I think good, because she's always supporting Wanda for the most part.
I am straight up Mermaid Man evil. Like, yeah. Every villain is lemon. Straight up, she's evil. Everything she's done has been sketchy for me. I don't think she's protecting Wanda. I think she's fucking with her.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going with the fact that if she was good, then she would be helping Wanda out of the situation, and she's kind of helping keep her in it. So
I just think it's like, in my mind, it's her just, it's not the right time to just, you can't just at right now just go up to Wanda and be like, Vision's fucking dead, Quicksilver's fucking dead, get over it. Like, I think she's just trying to wean her into that phase of
wiener.
Yeah.
You just say big meat. So it all depends on how the situation is going down. Like, how does Agnes even be a part of it? That's the question we don't have the answer to yet, because if Agatha Harkness starts as a villain, then becomes a mentor, I believe, for Scarlet Witch in the comics. Could be the opposite way, but either way, we don't know Agatha Harkness in the MCU yet, and we're going to have to get some kind of explanation of how they met or how she's part of this. I just think it's an easier explanation to just make her be part of a villain situation.
So we have villain, and then good guy from Dave. I also think that she's going to be evil, and the points that really solidify that are happened in this episode. That one line she has about the dead and raising them back to life is sticking in my head. Like, that's the first thing I think of when I think of her now. It's like, why would she be obsessed with the dead? And then if that somehow wraps up with her husband, who's the whatever character in Westview that we don't know anything about yet, that could be a good way to write it. And then also, this is something I kind of just thought about a little bit recently, when I think, Jimmy, you said that Agnes is bringing to Wanda's attention that she's aware and not getting kicked out like Geraldine. And I think that could, the explanation for that could be how strong she is, which is why, you know, Geraldine would get flung out, but someone like Pietro, who has powers, or someone like Agnes. So Pietro, Vision, and if Agnes does have powers, they would be too strong for her to just chuck out of the reality like that. So again, I think that's going to speak to her having actually noteworthy powers.
Yeah. I really hope she's not the bad guy.
Right. No,
because
I don't want that either.
Obviously, with the fact that we're saying it's a hex and it's a curse, a witch would put a curse on. That's who she is. Agatha Harkness is a witch. And conveniently enough, in the next episode with the trailer, she's a witch dressed up for Halloween.
Okay.
So
in the 90s, baby.
Yeah.
I can't wait.
Right. Anything else?
Good. That was a great one.
Yeah. Chalk it up.
T-minus 5 days until next episode. That's going to do it for us, guys. If you like what you heard, our podcast has also covered Amazon's The Boys, The Magician Season 5, The Haunting of Hill House series, a lot of good stuff. If you're on the World Wide Web, give us a follow on Instagram and Twitter, and hit subscribe to us wherever you get your podcast. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thank you so much for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.